Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to today's show, Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got Mikel Dia here today, and he's an exciting guest because he is a founder and a CEO of a software company, and a very interesting one at that, and has a very interesting background as well. Mikel, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. Excited to be here.
Awesome. Likewise. So let's start off with just a little bit about you. Tell us, kind of a little bit about your background and what led you up to being the founder of Funnelytics.
Yeah, no problem. So I live just outside of Toronto, Canada, kind of born and raised here. And I actually went to school for engineering, but not computer engineering. I went to school for civil engineering, learning how to build bridges and roads and all that stuff. And I hated it. It was terrible. I worked as an engineer for about 6 months and said, this is the worst. So I kind of ended up discovering this idea of selling online and making money online, and went down a pretty big rabbit hole around, like, how do you do that? How do you get a stranger to become a customer? And learned all sorts of stuff around that, like from building the websites, copywriting, funnels, emails, just conversions and psychology and follow-ups, all of the stuff, all the pieces of the puzzle of this idea of how do you get a stranger to become a customer and what does that look like? And I became obsessed with it. And what ended up happening is kind of fast forward a little bit, I started a marketing agency helping businesses do this by architecting their conversion engines and their funnels. And I saw a problem in the space for myself. I really had a hard time visualizing a strategy and being able to see it from a picture standpoint, and then being able to look at my data and see how these two things correlate, because data is charts, it's graphs, it's spreadsheets, it's linear, and the strategy is never linear. There's multiple paths, there's multiple touch points, there's multiple things happening, and they kind of look different. So I decided to start a software where I would basically allow businesses and marketers like myself to visualize data and to put it on a canvas and to basically be able to drag and drop and understand visually what's happening with the customer journey. So that's what led me to start Funnelytics.
So I love this. This is awesome because I'm a firm believer that when you start off trying to solve a problem for yourself, a lot of times that's the way to go, right? Because you intimately know your own problem and you make an estimate that, you know, there's some fraction of the market out there is experiencing what I'm experiencing and having the same problems and looking for the same things that I'm looking for. So from that, how did you kind of make the connection between your own problem and everyone else's? Did you do market research, or did you just know a lot of people, or was it just, if I build it, they will come? How did you kind of approach that?
No, I actually just said, I'm just going to build this so I can better operate my agency. But what was interesting is, like, I kind of in the back of my head always felt like this could be a software that could, you know, that other people could use. I had no idea whether or not people would. I just wanted to really build this tool ultimately for myself. But what ended up happening was the way that Funnelytics works is you have this kind of visual canvas. Think of it like a Miro or any diagramming tool, drag and drop, et cetera. And I can map all of my customer touch points. There's little icons that represent Facebook ads or Google ads, and little icons that represent pages and icons that represent, like, purchases, et cetera. And so it's very visual, and I can just connect these things and I can kind of create the strategy on a whiteboard. And again, the concept is I want to overlay data on top of that strategy. And that was always the vision. But I was showing a friend of mine the canvas and the mapping element of the canvas. And he was blown away. And he was just like, man, this is super cool. Like, this is amazing. And in my mind, I was like, yeah, but like, that's just the way to visualize the data. I'm working on the data side because that's the really cool part. He's like, yeah, that's cool too, but I really like the mapping aspect. Why don't you just give away that mapping tool for free and get people in? And then when you're ready to sell them the analytics, sell them the analytics. So I actually took his advice and I was like, okay, yeah, I mean, if you think it's that cool, then maybe others will too. And that's ultimately how I started. I was running the agency. So I was quite profitable with my agency. So I used some of that money and I started advertising on Facebook, the mapping tool, and just kind of said, here's this free mapping tool to map out your funnels and your customer journeys. And people started signing up and I moved them all into a community and into a Facebook group, started interacting with them and understanding who they were and their needs. And it kind of trickled down from there.
So this is really interesting because, you know, I've got a bunch of strategy questions lined up for you, but now you've got me curious about the software itself. And I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there who probably can use this kind of thing because it's a universal thing that people are doing, if anyone who's marketing online. So it sounds to me like it doubles, is it double as a CRM and a market strategy tool
more of an analytics tool than a CRM. So basically it'll connect to your CRM, it'll connect to your page builder, it'll connect and it'll just track how people move through all of your stuff. But what it does is it allows you to visualize it in the same way you would visualize a mural board. So instead of visualizing, when you look at somebody and you look at a person's, let's say their timeline, right? So if I were to, you come to my website and I start tracking you, I could see the pages that you visit. I could see the buttons you click on. I could see the purchases that you make. I could see the sources you came from, et cetera. The problem is if I take 20,000 of you and you're all doing very different things, how do I visualize the paths that are driving me the most? How do I visualize these assets that I've created and these blog posts? And so what I can do is I can basically take all of these assets, all of these touch points, I can visualize them on a canvas and I can connect things together and say, I want to know like how many people came from this blog post and went over to this page over here. And then it'll show me how many of those people did that in this visual way. And it'll show me the traffic flow and where the bottlenecks are and this really cool stuff.
Okay. So kind of like a statistical flow of and being able to see. So essentially someone using a tool like this understands really as the name of your product implies, funnelytics.
Yep.
Right, that you're looking at funnels and then you're looking at the specific channels, and I imagine that you could probably see choke points or areas where there's dramatic drop-offs from as you're connecting down like a four-step path. And maybe it's like, oh, at step number three it drops off a lot on this branch, but on this other branch we're getting a lot more traction. So you're just able to see more, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, I can super quickly show you if that helps.
I was going to ask, because I was going to say, if this was a regular meeting, I would totally ask you to pull it up. But yeah, anything that you're, that you feel comfortable
it'll be
showing,
super quick.
It'd be great. Yeah.
But basically, you could see here, right? I've mapped my Google ads, my Google organic, my affiliates. Here's different pages. Mm-hmm, I can add little like text onto the canvas. This is literally a canvas, right? It's I can zoom in and zoom out. I can map whatever I want. Like here's a more, but then I can turn on, for example, my flow mode, and I can see how are people moving through this, right? So I can.
Okay, so for the just to jump in here, so for the audience that's listening and can't see, what we're seeing is a kind of a flow chart with connecting arrows going from left to right. And it starts off with three nodes on the far left that's got kind of channels, would you say?
Yep. These are my channels. Traffic sources, my channels. So Google Ads, Google Organic, and then the different pages across the journey all the way to a starting a trial for my software. And then basically just seeing visually the path that people are taking, I can overlay the data and the numbers, so I can see my conversion rates and the number of people who went from this step to this step, and how many people actually started a trial. And so it's just a way to visualize the journeys that people take. So this one's a little bit more complicated over here, but I can see, okay, what are the actual journeys that people are taking? So clearly you can see this one is red comparatively to this one, which is much more green. These sources are generating me nothing, the way up to this purchase, right?
So just also for the listening audience, so out of these nodes, Mikkel scrolled to on the canvas a much more complex arrangement of nodes. He started off with a simple one, went to a more complex one, and is able to put it in sort of like this animated visual mode where you see kind of these marching dots flowing from one place to another. Some of them are green, some of them are red, indicating kind of good and bad areas. And then some of them don't have dots flowing, indicating areas of less activity. So from looking at it, it does look like you're able to see quite a bit. And you know, one of the things that, so as a designer, a lot of the tools that we use just in general just has to do with seeing your thoughts out there, right? So sticky notes, people make fun of me about my sticky notes. I use lots of them. And one of the things about it is when you're putting sticky notes, when you're putting notes up there, out there in the world, that's information you don't have to retain in your working memory, and you're able to externalize your thinking and put it on a surface. So it makes it easier to think, and you can get to big and better insights quicker. So that's really good stuff. And so the stuff that you're showing, Mikkel, it relates to other products that the user's using. And this relates to a question I was going to ask, which is integrations with other products. A lot of good products, there's kind of a continuum. On one side, trying to build a whole platform where you do everything, and you're stating outright, no, we don't do the CRM stuff. No, we don't do that, but we do this. And then the discipline of kind of focusing on a certain subset of the problem. How do you make that decision, and how do you operate with what is the stuff that I'm going to kind of outsource versus what's the stuff that's more my core value? What's kind of your thinking around that approach?
Yeah. So it's a good question. When I first conceptualized Funnelytics, I was really looking at it as a kind of tool to kind of look at how do I plan, measure, and optimize my entire customer journeys. And somewhere in between there, between planning and measuring, is I have to build everything, right? I've got to build my pages. I've got to set up my ads. I've got to create the workflows in my CRM and send out the emails and all of the stuff that is actually going to help me acquire customers. And I made a fundamental decision at the beginning that the problem with the build is that there are so many platforms that if I really wanted to impact as many people as possible, if I force them to use my tool to build their pages or to send out their emails or to do this, then basically that means that everyone who's using HubSpot or ClickFunnels or whatever tool, you know, ConvertKit or whatever tools they're using, they can't use the visual aspect of looking at these customer journeys, et cetera. So we made the conscious decision of saying, no, that's not where the game we want to play. We want to play a game where we can integrate with all those tools. We can visualize the journeys that people take, no matter what tools our clients use. And ultimately, it's about better understanding your customer journeys, but not for us to control that. So we just made that conscious decision. And it does pose challenges. There's no doubt. Like the one thing that makes these tools great is that they're inherently sticky. If I'm going to send my emails from this CRM, or I'm going to start collecting leads, or I'm going to build my pages using this page builder, then once my page is built, or once I start collecting leads, I'm not leaving, right? Because now I got to rebuild everything. I got to switch over. The problem with a tool like Funnelytics, because it doesn't power a part of the business, It's very hard from a product adoption, and it's very challenging from a stickiness standpoint, because it's actually a user-led tool. Meaning, if the person who is on the marketing team isn't logging in and operating the tool, then it doesn't power anything. It just enables them to do their job better, right? So from that standpoint, that's something that we've been trying to, you know, improve and fix and kind of change. So yeah, I see I'm glitching on my end. Are you seeing the same thing?
A little bit. The audio is perfectly fine, but yeah, okay. Just a slight lag in the video.
Maybe
turn it off and then turn it on and off and later. Yeah, it looks like you're back to normal. And so let's talk about the role of innovation in the building of your product. You came up with an idea that's very innovative, and it takes kind of models that exist out there. You mentioned like the various Canvas tools and things like that, kind of borrowing some concepts from that world. And you started off with an innovative idea. What role does continuous innovation play in your team? Is it the case that the necessary innovation was front-loaded and you came up with it in the beginning, and from here it's more of a maintenance and a building and expanding features? Or do you require on your team that you have a continuous presence of innovative team members or anything like that? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's just ingrained in us. I love innovation. I thrive off of it. Even though I would say my core skill set is marketing, the thing I'm most passionate about is product and product innovation. And that's what drives me and gets me, super excited and to talk about. So ultimately, we're constantly thinking about how can we push the boundaries a little bit? How can we think about something and do something that is not so much, I don't really care the fact that it's never been done before, because that's not about, it's not about doing something that hasn't been done before. It's just kind of how my brain operates. I'm a very visual person. To some degree, these are almost like engineering schematics, right? They're flows, they're charts, that's what I'm seeing, and that's how my brain thinks. And I know that a lot of people are very visual, but then when you look at data, you look at it in a very different way. You have to use your left brain as opposed to your right brain. And so we always are looking at it and saying, okay, well, what else can I do with this? Like, if I can look at my data this way, for example, now I can see my conversion rates, I can see these things, could I, for example, forecast and, run simulations? Like, if I'm able to increase this number by this, do these little marching ants, these little dots, do they go more green? Do I make more money? Like, and if so, that gives me guidance as to where do I spend my time and my efforts as a marketer. So just always constantly thinking, how can we make our lives easier? And that's the fun part of building a product, right? Like, to me, that's the exciting part. I actually don't love the business part of building a company, even though I'm the CEO and it's my responsibility. If I could just do it all for myself, it'd just be, let's just play with this all day long. Like, to me, this is fun. So,
No, I can totally relate on that. And so, the crux of your tool, it's really about empowering data-driven processes, in this case, sales. Right. Yep. And it's letting people be able to see things for your own work on your own product. Are you mature enough as a company where you're able to plug in data driven stuff yourself to look on at your own product? So do you desire to have visibility into the way that your users are using your product and to say, oh, wow, people are using the I want to see percentages feature more than they're using the marching ants feature. And then let's double down on that in the next release or something like that. Is data or you know, is it not automated data? Is it that you go and talk to people? How do you stay informed about how well your product is doing?
Yeah, so what was interesting is at the very beginning, I kind of mentioned to you that we use this mapping tool. So imagine now the same tool that you just saw. It was a long old version of it, but basically this way to kind of map out this diagram, but you just can't overlay the data, right? So, and that's what we advertise for free. We gave people the ability to map for free. And then if you wanted to overlay data, that's what you pay for. And what was interesting is by giving away this free mapping tool, it attracted anyone and everyone who cared about visualizing journeys. And that ranged from the person who's starting their Shopify store tomorrow, who's never made a sale online, to the VP of growth at Microsoft, right? And all sorts of people in between for all sorts of industries, because it's literally a visualization tool for marketers. And that in its own right came with all sorts of challenges. Because now the question you have to ask yourself is, okay, well, who are we building for? Are we building for the VP of growth at Microsoft? Are we building for the agency that's using it as a sales tool and a retention tool to communicate to clients? Are we building for the person who's trying to start their first product and launch their first product, and they don't need really this crazy analytics tool? They just need to know whether they made a sale or not. It made us kind of sit there and say, well, we have a vision for what we want this thing to be in the future. The question is, how do we approach building that vision? So the mapping tool inherently is a planning thing, right? It's a visualization thing. So now, do we expand on planning features where, let's say, real-time collaborators, people can come in, we can add notes, we can add checklists, we can do stuff that enables the planning aspect of things, but we want to build an analytics tool. So do we focus on that? Wait a minute. There's people who really care about analytics, and then there's people who just want high level numbers. So do we double down on deep analytics, or do we like simplify it a little bit? Right. And it became this cycle of, we just have to really keep narrowing down who is our ideal prospect. A, not just for who's using our tool, but also B, is it aligned with the vision that we have for our company, right? Is it aligned with the vision for what we want to build? Because the last thing I want to do as a founder is spend my time building something that doesn't excite me, right? Because otherwise I'm getting up in the morning just to work, and that's not fun. So even though we've had tons of requests for, let's say, planning features that are relatively straightforward, now we're kind of sitting there and saying, well, do we really want to compete in the project management space? I mean, there's ClickUp, there's these tools. Like, now, are people going to start coming into Funnelytics? We got to have tagging, we got to have these features, and that's a whole space, right? That's a whole ballpark. And we always said, no, who we really truly care about and what we really want to build is this powerful tool that helps businesses better gain clarity around what's really driving customer acquisition for them, right? What's really helping them generate customers. So it was more about the analytics. So that eliminated a whole bunch of these mapping users who ultimately would never sign up and upgrade to that. Now, will we ever get to the planning side and all that? Yeah, it's part of our vision. Our tool has always had the vision of planning, measuring, optimizing. But that's the big vision. That's the, you know, I want to be HubSpot vision. I want right. Every marketer in the world to use this tool. You've got to also realize, okay, but we've got to still build a business. It's got to be profitable. We've got to make sure that there's stickiness and there isn't too much churn. And we've got to acquire the right customers and get to that product market fit. And that has been very difficult, very, very, very difficult to make these decisions. We tested a whole lot of stuff. We tried a whole lot of stuff. And it only recently have we kind of really started realizing who is that ideal, perfect customer for what we're building. And now we're starting to kind of just get more and more traction around that core group of customers.
Mikhail, this is really exciting because I know a lot of founders who want to do a freemium and they dream about doing it and they might even have a successful product, but you successfully did a freemium type of strategy, freemium or maybe close to it. I don't know if they open, but that people start off wanting to use the visualization tool and then they say, hey, I'm actually getting a lot of value out of this to get the kind of bigger part of the product. Let me ask you this. Yeah. Mikhail, we'll end with this because I could keep going, but we're at the top of the hour. What makes Funnelytics better than its competitors?
The visualization aspect, right? So the problem with analytics tools, and again, in general, just tools that are designed around charts and graphs and spreadsheets, is that they really appeal to that analytical minded, data minded person. And you have to have that person operating those things. Otherwise, you're not making data driven decisions. What's cool about a tool like Funnelytics is if I'm an agency and I'm doing this for clients, guess what? My clients see it and they're like, I understand what you're doing. If I'm reporting back to my manager, they see, okay, these are our pages, these are our traffic. I visually understand what is happening. When I'm working with my team, it basically gets everybody on the same page because everybody's looking at this picture and saying, I understand what's happening. I see there's the pages, there's the traffic sources, there's the actions. And the data just supplements my decision-making, but it really aligns everybody around the same story. And that's what makes Funnelytics really, really cool.
This is really awesome stuff. I mean, I honestly could see myself using the tool. Mikhail, where can people learn more about Funnelytics and yourself?
Yeah, come check out LinkedIn. That's where I spend most of my time on social media, if I do. And then for Funnelytics, go to funnelytics.io to learn more about the tool.
Awesome. Mikhail Dia, exciting stuff. Loved hearing about this. Thank you for joining us on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.